If you just live your life for now, you're going to miss it. But if you think in terms of eternity, then you have really grasped the meaning of life. You're not going to be here forever. That what you do now counts. What you are doing for God counts in eternity.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count.
Wove that garment back and forth. Job said that my days are going by like a weaver's shuttle. I don't know about you, but it seems like just yesterday that I graduated from high school. Just yesterday. And yet and still, those days are long gone. In a couple years, I guess I'll be celebrating my 50th class reunion. I remember when I was growing up, I used to think if somebody was 50 years old, I said, man, they're old. But now I kind of changed my philosophy about that. So what is Job saying? Here goes your days. Just think. We just started out 2016. And it's already going to be March. My days are going by faster than a weaver shuttle. It's like I said about that toilet paper, right? It goes, and the closer it gets to the end, the faster they go. James put it like this. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for, wow, that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You ever go outside on a cold day and just puff, puff, and you see the air that goes out before your face? Reach out and try to grab it. You come up empty-handed. James says that your life is just like that. In light of eternity, in light of God is from everlasting to everlasting, your life is just a vapor. Just think, you know, it was interesting. I was going back through my notes yesterday, and I pulled up this message, and I was looking through it, and I found a bulletin. I must have preached this message back in the 90s. And so I pulled a bulletin up, and on the back were sick and shut in. I tell you what, man. There were, I mean, I wish I'd have brought it and just read some of the people whose names were on there. You know, I don't even know if many of them, if there's even family connections that are still here right now. And I just thought, you know, these people are the backbone of Bethany Baptist Church. These people are the pillars of Bethany Baptist Church, and their life is just a vapor. It appeared for a little while. It's gone. You know what? One day, hopefully you won't be on the sick and shut-in list. You know, maybe just go on to glory. But maybe one day your name might be on the sick and shut-in list. And whoever's pastoring 25 years from now, 30 years from now, will look at your name on the back of the sick and shut-in list and have no idea who you are. But you were a pillar in the household of God. Your life is but a vapor. It only appears for a short time, and then it vanishes away. The psalmist said, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before thee. A handbreadth. That's all our lives are. There was a song back in the 70s by a man by the name of Cat Stevens. And the name of the song was Oh Very Young. And it went something like this. Oh Very Young, what would you leave us this time? You're only dancing on this earth for a short while. Listen to this. And though you want it to last forever, you know it never will. And though you want it to last forever, you know it never will. We would like to capture certain segments, certain parts of our life. We would like to put time in a bottle and just hold it for eternity. But you can't, because it's fading away. Another group of the 70s put it like this. I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes in curiosity, dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. And so we see, first of all, that if we are going to make our days count, that we must measure our days in light of eternity. The second thing that I want to say is that the principle of examination, the principle of examination, and this basically says, days that count must be examined and prioritized. If your days are going to count, what did he say? Lord, teach me to count my days. What does that mean? That means to examine your days. That means to look at your days, to study your days, and then what? Prioritize your days. Teach me to count my days. And so many of us, and I raise my hand on this, just involve ourselves in fruitless efforts, fruitless activities, idleness. And yet and still, we are exhorted here to number our days, to count our days. I heard somebody say, actually it was Dr. D. James Kennedy. He said, what will you do today that will mean anything 10,000 years from today? I would have a tendency to think that because, and I said this last week or week before, that because you are here in the house of the Lord today, you know, opposed to the other person who was worshiping at the church with Reverend Sheets and Pastor Pillow, that because you made it here today, that something, when you look back in eternity, if the word of God touched your heart, if the worship touched your heart, and you made a change in your life, that 10,000 years from today, that you will be able to look back and see how this day affected eternity. What are you doing every day that's making your days meaningful, that's making your days count? If you look back, are your days filled with a whole bunch of nothing? Or is there meaningfulness in your days? Is there something of value and worth that you are doing, not just one day a week, but every day? Lord, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Let me examine them. Let me look at my days and make sure that I'm doing those things that glorify you. Somebody said, anybody can teach us to count from 1 to 100. You can teach a child how to count from 1 to 100. I got a 1.5-year-old grandson. He learned how to spell Jesus. Amen. I don't know if that's the first word that he learned how to spell, but praise God if it is. Right? Right? Jesus. He can spell Jesus. But you know, only God can teach you to count your days. Anybody can teach you to count, but only God can teach you to count your days. And so the psalmist says that if I let the Lord teach me how to count my days, then look what he says. Very interesting. And can you go back to the outline one more time? Can you go back to the outline? The outline of Psalm 90. Okay. All right. Look. The outline of the psalm, a prayer of Moses, the eternality of God, the finiteness of men, and then the last several verses, A prayer for finite man to do something that lasts for eternity. My. Look at verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God, be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We see two words that are used twice in this passage, and that is the word establish. You know what the word establish means? Give permanence. Give permanence to the work of my hand. Lord, let me do something that will outlast me. That when I have left this earth, when I am no longer here, let me do something, Lord, that will continue on and bring honor and glory to you. Give permanence to the work of my hands. What are you putting your hand to that's going to add up in eternity? Just think, you know, sometimes I think that some of us ought to sit down during our meditative time or prayer time and just look at our day, every day of our week, and see. I like what Deacon Cephas, Mike Cephas, you know, talked about, that, you know, if our thoughts are just about us, then that's a sin. Now, man, again, you know, we got to think about how to take care of ourselves and all that, so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about not what Mike was talking about was in sinful ways, that when we, you know, think certain things that are not glorifying to the Lord. And so if I spend my whole days thinking about me, myself, and I, and all the things that I want to accomplish and accumulate upon me, I would have to say, that's a pretty insignificant life. You know, now again, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to be concerned about ourselves. We don't need to let anybody take advantage of us. So I got that. But what I'm saying is that if our lives are completely consumed upon self, then that's a pretty shallow existence. And I would have to say that that's a life that has and will have no impact in eternity. No impact on eternity. When I first got saved, I was playing football at a college in Colorado. And I got saved. And I have to, you know, we were in Durango, Colorado. And the only black people in the town were the athletes on the football team. And so when I got saved, the Lord led me to a white church. And as I shared a couple weeks ago, the people loved myself and Angie, and they discipled us, and they fellowshiped with us, and it was just a blessing to be a part of that congregation. Even to the day, you know, I get a chance to go back and preach from time to time. But one of the things that I did that the Lord burdened my heart was for the guys on the football team. And so I began to go back, and I began to share Christ with them. And I began to invite them to church, and they came to church. And it's amazing now, because I graduated and I went all my life, and now I have these guys calling me back left and right. Man, you don't know the impact that you had in my life. There's a guy from Florida, Pete Brown. He just became a licensed minister. He called me. He said, man, I had to call you. I had to get your number. I had to call you because I remember when you used to come up and you took us down to that church. And I remember when we accepted Christ and got baptized. Lord, let me give my life to something that's going to outlast me. And I get the guys, I done had about four or five guys call me that I went to college with. This, count your days so that your days will count. Examine them. Make sure that you're filling them with those things that are worthy, those things that are priceless, those things that are eternal. And so it's important that every day that we seek the Lord. That if we are going to examine our days and prioritize our days, that you have to put God at the first thing on your agenda. You have to seek Him and ask Him, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Lord, here goes all these things that are on my agenda. Now, some things you have to do. You have to go to work. You know, you might have kids or grandkids you have to take care of. And that might be on the Lord's agenda for you. It's taking care of your kids or your grandkids. But seek God and find out what he wants you to do. The songwriter said, lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me. Is that your prayer in the morning for God to lead you and guide you? You know, God didn't have to wake you up this morning, but he woke you up. He allowed your golden moments to roll on. And somebody said he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Prioritize your time. When you think of what it says up here, every day, God deposits into our day 24 hours, 1,440 minutes, 186,000 seconds, right? How would you like it if somebody deposited $186,000 into your bank account every day? Every day. All right. But God deposits 186,000 seconds into your account every day. There's three things that you can do with them. You can waste them on frivolous activities. You know, just, you know, on the game. I mean, again, I play games on the phone. I play games on the computer. But, you know, you can't spend your time. sometimes there is the whole idea of, you know, I use this to relax me, all right? Or I use this to have a little fun. Okay, I think God is down with that. I really think God is down with you playing some games to relax or to have a little fun. God is down with that. But hours and hours. You know, I have to think that God given you 186,000 seconds a day, I would have to think that his objective is not for you to use a great portion of them playing games. All right, now don't get people mad at me. That's all right. I'll get Brother Scott to stand up here after service, and he can fight y'all off. Got my grandson down front too. My grandson, he gonna stand up for me. All right. So you know, we can waste our days, or we can spend our days. How do we spend our days? Well, when you go to work. Right? You spend, what are you doing? You're giving your time and you're getting something in return. So you can spend your days. So most of us have to spend our days. But what is God looking for? God is looking for you to invest your time in something that will be meaningful in eternity, that you would invest your time. The principles that we have, eternity, you know, we have the principle of examination. And then finally, we have what I call the principle of expenditure. The principle of expenditure. And that is, days that count must be spent according to the priorities. That once you determine what it is that God has called you to do, then you need to be about doing them. You can't sit around and talk about praying. You can't sit around and talk about reading your Bible. You can't sit around and talk about being a witness for Christ. You can't sit around talking about theology. You can't sit around talking about having theological debates and discussions. You can't sit around. At some point, you got to go out and you got to begin to do what God has called you to do. The principle of expenditure. Lord, teach me to number my days. One, two, three. And that's all. Oh. That I might go out and that I might do something. Somebody put it like this. I like this right here. Yesterday is the canceled check. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is the only cash you have. Spend it wisely. Today is the only cash you have. Spend it wisely. Let me close with this last slide. In Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 4:5, Paul said, redeem the times. The word redeeming comes from a Greek word, and it's actually a financial term. When he says redeem the time, this is a financial term. And it means to buy up or buy back time. It can also be translated, make the most of your time. Now, the verb is in the present tense, a present tense participle. And so this tells us what? It's to be ongoing. That we should continuously be buying up the time. We should be continuously making the most of our time. How are you spending your time? You know, in our day planners, I know I still use the paper day planner. And on the one side, you know, there is a column for activities that you did that day and how much time you spent. And I wonder if we all sat down and we just itemized each thing in our day and we attributed a time to it, where would most of our time be spent? See, when we count our days, then we get busy. When we count our days, then we become about something. Count your days so that your days will count. There's a poem that I read often at homegoing services. And the poem says this: what does your dash represent? Now, your dash is that little line on your tombstone or on your obituary that represents your life. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on his tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears, but said what mattered most was the dash between the years. For that dash represents all the time that he had spent alive on earth. And now only those who love him know what that little line is worth. Hey, 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 it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, or the cash. What matters is how we live in love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering this special dash might only last for a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Your dash. You are working on your dash. Count your days so that your days can count.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Fine-Tuning Your Focus on the Lord. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Count Your Days So That Your Days Will Count. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, there is a downloadable brochure on politics that can help you parallel your political views with God's Word. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order them, visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.